welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
But in Luke 1, verse 80, speaking about John the Baptist, we read this really interesting verse. It says, so the child grew and became strong in spirit. And he was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. A couple of verses. Some of you didn't realize that Luke had 80 verses, did you? But anyway, Luke 1, verse 80. The child grew, became strong in spirit. A couple of verses later, halfway through chapter 2, speaking about Jesus and the child, this time with a capital C, grew and became strong in spirit. Fascinating to me that at the beginning of Luke, just in a space of a few verses, we get this really, really intriguing concept. That if we talk about spirits, there's a strength dimension to your spirit. There's a strength dimension to the core, the very fiber of who you are. We'll get to that in a moment. But I wonder when we think of spirit, how often we think of strength of spirit. How often those concepts in our mind, at least together, merge. Or sometimes we just think, yes, there's a spirit and I've got a spirit and praise the Lord for that. Probably more correctly, I am a spirit. Praise the Lord for that. But there's other areas that I need to strengthen, that I need to grow in, that I need to develop. It's fascinating to me that of probably two of the most, well, Jesus obviously, but apart from Jesus, John the Baptist, right up there with some of the most, with the most significant people in the New Testament, speaks about them being and growing strong in their spirit. I wonder if I had to pass out a little piece of paper scorecard thing and you each have to give yourself a score on a scale of 0 to 10 on the strength of your spirit. I wonder what we'd say. I wonder what our measure would be around how do I know if I've got a strong spirit or not. I was always fascinated. We had a Liberty this weekend, and those are just the coolest things on the face of this planet. Who did Liberty this weekend? Okay. I'm glad you're still awake. But after Liberty, I'm astounded because obviously being involved in it, having done it myself and now presenting it. But one thing I'm always amazed by Liberty is, for those of you who haven't done it, it's a weekend where we, Friday night and Saturday, we take time and just spend time in the Spirit, spend time allowing God to speak to us, just dealing with the spiritual realm in our lives. And our physical activity is pretty limited. We sit, we stand, maybe we'll lift our hands for a few moments and then we'll sit or lie down and then we'll take a break and we'll sit outside and have lunch. Kind of that's the extent of the physical activity. You go home after that, and I don't know how many of the rest of you did it. I wish I could, but my three daughters wouldn't let me. I used to do this before they came on the board. I'd go home and I'd get on the couch and within 3 minutes I'd pass out. You guys are laughing because you passed out yesterday afternoon as well. Because there's something about our spirits that's not used to engaging or that our spirits grow tired. Maybe strong in that context isn't the right word, but maybe fit is the right word. And we develop a fitness in the spirit, but we develop a strength in the spirit that Scripture speaks about. And I'm wanting us to think about that very quickly this evening, and then we're just going to enter into it practically as we continue to worship. 2 Thessalonians 5, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Bible school, we spend a lot of time on these principles. I'd encourage any of you who can do Bible school next year, do Bible school. It's an investment into the future of your life. When I started doing Bible school, I had no idea I'd be doing what I'm doing now. I did it because I came to church and they said, you need to do Bible school. And I said, you guys have some stuff about Jesus that I really don't and I want what you've got. So if you say I must do Bible school, then I'll do Bible school. And I did Bible school. And I'm so thankful for it. Not only for doing what I'm doing standing here, but for the way it strengthened me personally in my relationship with Christ. Tuesday evenings next year, come and join us for Bible school. We can expand on a whole bunch of stuff. Amongst others, the fact that you've got a spirit, a soul, and your body. The body is the easy bit. It's the part that you can see. The part that's going to frot one day and get eaten by the worms. Or get burnt, or get stuck under the ground 6 feet, whatever. I don't really care. I'm not here anyway then. It's holy while we're living in it. We just look after it. I love how someone said, you're not responsible for the body you're born with, but you are responsible for the body you die with, which I think is a really good stewardship principle. But our body is easy, but we understand the body part, the flesh part. And then we've got a soul. Our soul is your emotions and your intellect. Important parts of your life. Without emotion, life would be really boring. Without emotion, watching yesterday's rugby would be boring. Without emotion, going on the date with the guy or the girl you've been hoping to go on the date for 2 years. Eventually, they see you, they realize that you're alive, you're going on a date. But if there's no emotion, that would be boring. Come, let's go for dinner. Okay. You know, how was your day? Robot life. Emotions color in so much of who we are and what we do. Praise the Lord, you've got an intellect, another part of your soul, a brain. Please use it. God gave it to you. We need to use it. We need to engage with our heads. But you know, none of that is who you are. Your body is not who you are. Your emotions, praise the Lord, are not who you are. Your thoughts and your mind is not who you are. Your intellect is not who you are. What type of being is God? A spirit, a soul, or a body, a flesh being? His spirit. He makes man in his image. So, pretty obvious induction. What does man have to be? Spirit. It would be really weird if he made us in his image and we were something totally different to him. It just wouldn't work, would it? You and I, we're spirit beings. Right at the core of who we are. And as we engage in life and all the various facets of life, it's important that we understand, we remind ourselves of that regularly. We need to train our minds. That's why many of you at university, you need to be working at, you need to be training your emotions. Emotional maturity is pretty handy. To be able to know how to respond appropriately in various situations and not to be swayed by your emotions. You've got a soul. It's important. Look after it. You've got a body. Keep it fit. Keep it healthy. Spend time learning about how do I keep my body healthy? What must I eat? What mustn't I eat? Exercise. Do all of that stuff. But I wonder how often in the midst of our soul, our mind, and our emotions, our body, and our spirit, how much time we spend strengthening our spirit and our soul, our soul, our emotions, and our intellect, how much time we spend strengthening our body versus how much time we spend strengthening our spirit, the real part of who we are. I remember when we fasted in the middle of the year, I sent out WhatsApp messages once a day or whatever to you guys, but just a bunch of stuff to pray for. And I said, this morning I want you to pray for 3 minutes. Just pray in the spirit for 3 minutes. And this evening again. Tomorrow, 4 minutes, and the evening again. The next day, 5 minutes. And I did that because I remember as a young believer beginning to pray in the spirit, I'd time myself. I'd sit on the bed with a stopwatch or whatever, try and pray for 5 minutes in the spirit. You know the reality? I struggled. My spirit hadn't developed the capacity to just focus and pray in the spirit for a few minutes without getting distracted. Or, praise the Lord, Facebook wasn't even around back then. If Facebook was there, I would have lasted for 30 seconds. Just to learning the discipline of being able to shut out other things and press and enter into the spirit. You're a spiritual being. If you're going to be growing anything in your life, make sure you're growing your spirit. Ephesians 3, I love this prayer that Paul prays. He prays over the church in Ephesus. He says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Speaking about your spirit. He's saying, I pray all of these things that God, through his spirit, would strengthen your spirit. Got a little picture here that we use in Bible school. Just for some of you, maybe a little bit more visual. You've got your body, which is sort of the least important part of who you are. That's revelation to some of you, okay? Then you've got your soul, your emotions, and your intellect. Really important color in your life, but don't make you who you are. Your spirit, the part of you that represents God. When you get saved, your spirit gets born straight away, renewed in that moment, new spirit. Doesn't get renewed as much as it gets born. God said to Adam, when you sin, you will die. He didn't lie. Spirit man died. But we get made alive again in Christ as we enter into becoming a new creation. Your spirit gets, in Bible school, we do this in a lot more detail. Your soul stuff, still your soul stuff. You know, if you have an eating disorder and you get saved tonight, praise the Lord, God could set you free tomorrow. But the reality is, tomorrow morning when you wake up, the desire for affirmation from people, that's still going to be there. It's going to take a while to walk through to get healing in that area. It's part of why we do our spiritual growth series, the Foundation and Encounter series, is to walk a road of healing with you. So encouraged. I don't know if she's here. Santa Maria. I don't see her. One of the psychologists who's in church with us, and not a psychologist, the other one, psychiatrist, the doctor one. And she came to me at lunch yesterday, and she said, so amazing what we do. She said she can't believe just the healing and the deliverance, and she's been obviously to many courses because she's followed the Lord for a long time as well, but the psychiatry stuff as well. And she said, it's so amazing just what we present and hold before people. She doesn't get why everyone hasn't done it yet. I said, I don't get it either, but we're working on it. So much healing that takes place within the soul area. We begin to engage within the spirit. Our inner man, right at the core of who we are. I love how John 7, Jesus speaking, says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. From your spirit area. You know, in a ministry context, how important it is for us to understand this. But we so often think, and you need to hear me clearly here because it's easy to mishear what I'm saying. We so often think that we must go and I must minister to somebody. And as I go to that somebody, I must really trust that Holy Spirit and Jesus is going to come and meet and give that person a refreshing, a cup of water, a taste of Christ. You know what Jesus says? He's placed that ability within your spirit to do that. It's not my goodness, my cleverness. It's not water from my own well. It's water that comes out of my innermost being that's birthed in Christ. He puts it in there so that out of me can come a fountain of living water. Do you know how that changes when you start praying for someone and you realize that? When you start ministering to someone, counseling someone, you're in a small group with someone and you realize out of my innermost being is going to come rivers of living water that's going to quench every thirst. God's put it inside of you. He's placed it there. One of the things that we need to learn to do is we need to learn to access that. We need to learn to figure out how do I open up that tap? How do I engage with my spirit so other people can drink of it? How can I share that? How can I give that? This evening I'm wanting, as I said, I'm going to be very quick. If you're intrigued by this and you want more detail, you can download the 4 o'clock message. I spoke quite a bit longer around it. Share a couple of thoughts with us on strengthening our spirit. How do we build? How do we strengthen our spirit? How do we develop our spirit? How do we grow our spirit? How do we actively engage with? And that's the first point, is to engage with your spirit. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Pray in it. We did it this evening a little bit. Prayed in the Spirit. Some of you here, you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you can't pray in the Spirit. Afterwards, we'll pray with you and we'll help you to begin to pray in the Spirit. I was confused by all these people who want to have fights. Should I or shouldn't I? Must everyone, mustn't everyone? I've got two simple answers. First of all, number one, read your Bible. And number two, you don't have to. You really don't have to pray in the Spirit. But don't expect the Spirit to go strong if you're not exercising your Spirit. You know what I realized when I was for 5 minutes trying to pray in the Spirit? It was hard. I couldn't. If you're really praying in the Spirit, it's like my stomach would get sore, get tired from like 30 seconds of just engaging in the Spirit. And then, you know, after a couple of days, it gets easier, just like exercising my body. If I go for a run around the block, the first day I'm going to fall flat after 100 meters. After a couple of days of training, I can do 5 or 10 kilometers. The more I train, the more my body... Sorry? That's the trick. It's not in the gym. Okay. But I've got a good excuse. The doctor says I'm not allowed running. Shame, poor me. Okay. How many of you have watched Wall-E? Wall-E. Wall-E, Eva. Wall-E. You know, that one. Anyway, long story. Not going to go into the whole thing. Eventually, Wall-E and Eva end up in a spaceship. And on the spaceship are a bunch of blobs called humans. But for a couple of generations, a couple of hundred years, none of them have even thought about the concept of walking or standing up or sitting up, because they've got these really funky deck chairs that they lie in, and that's where they live in. And these deck chairs take them everywhere, and they get their fast food delivered to them or whatever else they need, and walking around with these big cups and big straws and just eating and drinking all the time, and just these big blobs just hanging there. For me, that's such a picture of where sadly so many Christian spirits are at. Because we've never learned to engage with us. We've never learned to stand up. We've never learned to exercise and go for that run. That blob gets up and he's going to crawl for the first couple of weeks. Eventually, he's going to be able to stand and walk and run. We need to engage in the same way with our spirits. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm going to rush very quickly. But I need to illustrate this next point. If you get this, then the rest falls into place. I've got a picture here of what the fallen man typically looks like. Spirit, soul, body. We've spoken about your soul, your emotions and your intellect, your body, your flesh. Most of us, at least before we're saved, either our soul or our body is dictating our life. That's the faculty that is in charge. Every decision I make gets based, if I'm emotional, if kind of that's one of the dominant things, how do I feel about it? If it feels good, I'm in. If it feels good, I'm not in. We bring that into our relationship with Christ. If I feel close to Christ, he's the best thing ever. If I don't feel close to Christ, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. Based on my emotions. If I've had a good day, then we can change the world. If I've had emotionally, if I'm not in a good space, then the whole world's falling apart. Whether I eat, whether I don't eat, whether I study, whether I don't study, whether I exercise, whether I don't exercise, whether I have quiet time, whether I don't have quiet time, all of those decisions get based then within your emotions. Some of us, maybe we're more intellectual. All of our decisions get based on, do I understand it? Does it make sense to me? If I can figure it out and it makes sense to me, then it's good. If it doesn't make sense, not interested. It's a bit of a challenge when we come to God. Because it becomes a filter as well. It really means that when God speaks to me, if my head doesn't do it, if my head doesn't get it, then I eject it. If I'm more on the intellectual side of the soul, if I'm more on the emotional side, if it doesn't feel good, if it's uncomfortable, if it's not nice for me, if it's not going to make me all bubbly on the inside, then I'm not interested. And that's kind of how we make our decisions. That filter comes in there. That's why some people struggle to pray in the Spirit. Struggle to pray in the Spirit because it doesn't make sense. What Paul's already told you is not going to make sense in 1 Corinthians 14. It says when you pray in the Spirit, your understanding is unfruitful. I've got a medical study in... Well, I've got just a summary of the study that Peninsula State University did. And what they did is they took a whole bunch of people from different faiths, put them in MRI tubes and had them do their religious exercise in the MRI tube and watch the brain activity while they were doing it. And what I'm told kind of after reading this article is that you and I, as I'm talking now, the front part of my brain is lighting up and there's just a whole bunch of neuron activity going on there because that's where my communication center is. As you're listening to me, most of you, some of you have switched off, but those who are listening, the front part of your brain is all busy because that's where the communication center is. That's how you're listening. That's how you're processing what I'm saying to you. And I took a whole bunch of different people of different faiths, put them in there, had them do their meditations and their prayers and whatever else they did. Frontal lobe brain activity in all of them. They took someone filled with the Spirit, put him in, had him pray in the Spirit. You know, this fascinating. No frontal lobe brain activity. I read them and I said, well, Paul said that to us. Paul knew that he didn't need an MRI to figure out that his brain wasn't involved in this process. But you know what Ephesians says? It says, eye has not seen. That's part of my flesh. Ear has not heard. Part of my flesh. Nor has entered into the heart of man within the context they're talking about my emotions, my soul. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Well, that's really sad because God's really prepared cool stuff for us. Except it doesn't end there. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Because the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of old. What man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of man? The same way, who knows the things of God except the Spirit of God? And he reveals, how does he reveal it to us? Through our head? No. Through engaging in the Spirit. Through allowing God to tell us stuff that my head can't get. It says in that passage, it says, we can't get the spiritual things, because the things of God, because they are spiritually discerned. See, what one of the things that we need to trust God to do in our lives is, if I'm a soul dominant person or I'm a body dominant person, in other words, what my tummy says, what my body is telling me, that's kind of at the end of the day, all my decisions get framed within that. Because my relationship to God is limited to that. We need to trust God and say, God, that needs to turn, that needs to change. That little triangle, that little pyramid of my constitution needs to flip a little bit. You can go to the next slide. It needs to flip so that my spirit becomes dominant. You see that my spirit's only going to be dominant if my spirit is stronger than my soul. I love how David writes. He says, be still my soul. What is he saying? He's saying, David, right now you are so flippant emotional, you're going to freak everyone out, you're not going to make good decisions, you're losing the plot, you're not understanding who Jesus is in this situation, and his spirit man stands up and says, be still my soul. Right now is not the time to be emotional. There's a time to be emotional, it's not now. He says, be still my soul. Renew a steadfast spirit within me, he prays. He says, God, give me a spirit, God, that can stand up and say to my soul, no. That can say, do you know there's some thoughts that you should not allow in your mind? But should I be open-minded? No. In the same way that there are some images that you shouldn't allow in your eyes, there are some thoughts that are poison to your mind. They're poison to your relationship with Christ. They've been designed to destroy. You need to learn to put boundaries around your mind and say, my mind does not go there because my spirit has determined. See, it's not about limiting your mind. In the same way that not watching pornography is not about limiting your sexuality. It's about keeping it pure. It's about it using it for the intended purpose to which God gave it. Somebody with sexuality that's been trained and disciplined, that isn't running off the porn all the time, has far healthier and probably more satisfying sexual, if they're married, sexual relationship than those who are running off a whole bunch of pornography. The same holds true for your intellect. The same holds true for your emotions. Some of us need to learn to say, emotions, shut up. I love emotion. Emotion is nice, but not now. There's a spirit that needs to stand up, a strong spirit. But the spirit can only do that if it's stronger. Spirit can only rise up over your body if your spirit says to your body, no. One of the reasons why we fast is to help us just to get this order right, to help our body just sink down a little bit. But have you, some of you noticed how emotional you get, how busy your head gets when you're fasting? How that whole idea there is trying to shout against it because you're making a deliberate decision to say, I'm going to allow my spirit to be strengthened in this time. First thing we need to do is we need to first realize that we have a spirit. Rephrase, realize that you are a spirit. And secondly, you need to learn to engage in that spirit, with that spirit, through the spirit. Engage primarily God through the spirit, but engage life in the spirit. We look at some of those verses now. How does it start? It starts by praying in the spirit, singing in the spirit, as Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians 14. Then you need to feed your spirit. Deuteronomy 8, he says, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. It's quoted in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. Those two verses almost verbatim. He says to them, I want you guys to understand, it's not about getting food because food feeds the body, but there's something that's more important than feeding the body. You need to feed the body. That's why he doesn't say you will not live by bread alone. You need bread. You need to feed the body. But he says, if you're not feeding the spirit, you will not live. How do we feed the spirit? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Studying his word, allowing it to bring life to our spirit, spending time in his presence, allowing him to speak life over us. Your spirit gets fed by the word of God, but your spirit also gets fed in John 4 by doing the work of God. Jesus, I love this story. I've told it a couple of times recently, but just bring it up to speed with everyone here. Jesus is by a well, and he's just kind of got comfortable. His disciples said they're hungry. He says, there's a town over there. You guys go get some Burger King and bring it back for us. And as he's sitting there, a lady arrives, and Jesus has a powerful conversation with the lady, ministers to her in an incredible way. She goes back to the town to go and call the whole town to come and meet Jesus. While she's gone, the disciples arrive, and that's where we pick up the story. They've got their Burger King with them. So his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Because we went to fetch him food, so did someone else kind of beat us here? What's going on? What are they thinking? Flesh, body. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus got food. Jesus was sustained. Jesus was strengthened out of doing the work of God. See, we get fed. We feed our spirits by the word of God, and we feed our spirits by doing the work of God. It strengthens our spirit. A third way is by living a fasted life, a life of regular fasting, a life of regularly abstaining from certain things, which will include food. But God's going to show some of you certain things that he doesn't want you to do. Not because there's anything wrong with it, except that he doesn't want you to be part of it. What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that is to discipline your body, to bring your body into divine order where your spirit gets stronger than anything else. God's going to tell some of you that thing you really love is that thing that you really love and you really enjoy, let it go. Because it's not that you love it and really enjoy it, you frame your decisions from it, and that's unhealthy. Whether it's a computer game, whether it's a book series read, whatever it is, if it's not this is a nice to do as well, my decisions are formed on this, you need to really evaluate if it's life-giving, if it's of God that is birthed and placed that within your heart and within your life. You can skip the first passage there. Galatians 5, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we see this tension, spirit and flesh tension. The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You wish to do the spiritual things, but you end up doing the fleshly things, because the implication is you're feeding the fleshly things. A couple of verses later, he says, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I know of a couple of people who've wanted to print that out, write that out, and stick it on their fridge. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. See, we need to learn to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. We need to learn to say, body, you are not in charge. You don't run the show. No, I don't go running around jumping on every girl who looks half pretty because you don't run the show. You laugh, but you know how many of us do that in our heads and in our minds anyway? Whether action comes out is irrelevant. We're allowing our body as part of that pleasure. We're allowing our emotion, the emotional pleasure. Ladies, typically more guys, typically more visual stuff. Ladies, more the soap opera type stuff. Don't know why everyone would want to watch that, but anyway. That emotional satisfaction that you get out of that. You're feeding that part of your emotion, or you're standing up and you're saying, let my spirit stand up. I want to have a strong, I want to grow a strong spirit, and one of the ways in which I grow a strong spirit is by feeding that spirit, but also by not feeding the rest of me. That which is ungodly, not going to feed it. Because if I'm feeding my spirit, but I'm feeding this emotional or this physical thing, whatever it may be all the time, it's much harder for my spirit to stand up and say to my body, no. Say to my emotions or my intellect, no. If I'm feeding it more than I'm feeding my spirit. I'm not talking about sinful stuff now, that's obvious. And the pornography stuff is obviously sinful stuff. But even the fasting is not abstaining from sin. No, that's just wisdom. Salvation, authenticity in following Christ. Fasting is abstaining stuff. It isn't necessarily sin, except that, God, I'm not going to eat today, not because eating is sin, but because I want my spirit to stand up and to strengthen. I want to engage in the Spirit. I want to be active in the Spirit. I want to be involved in the Spirit. And fasting is one way in which we engage with that. Watch what Paul writes to the church in Philippi. He says, not that I speak in regard to need. I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We print out that verse 13, stick it on our fridge, on our bumper sticker, or whatever. I can do everything through Jesus who strengthens me. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying even when I don't have anything, even when the context of it, even when I'm hungry, even when my clothes are falling off my back and broken, whatever, even if I don't really have a place to stay, that doesn't change the fact that I can do that which God's called me to do, because it's not about satisfying my soul, it's not about satisfying my body, it's about being obedient to the call of my spirit. That's why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's making a statement about the strength of his spirit as opposed to his body and his soul. In Luke 1, verse 80 again, we saw the child grew and became strong in the spirit. Why? Because he was in the desert. You know, in the desert, there aren't too many other kids to play with. There's not too many McFlurries lying around, big screen TVs. Sometimes we need to embrace hardship. Put our arms around it. Say, God, cause my spirit to grow in this time. 2 Timothy, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. We spoke about this last week, the fact that God really wants us to enjoy him, enjoy life in him. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Overcome intimidation. Verse 7 there, God has not given us a spirit of fear. The word fear that's translated in this translation is fear. His translation is timidity or intimidation of some of your others. Because I haven't received a spirit of intimidation, of holding back, of being a niks waard, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. clarity of thought, the ability to do, the power to do which needs to be done, and of love to do it out of a place of not seeking my own, but seeking the best for others. Sometimes we need to deliberately step on intimidation and say, I refuse to be intimidated because of the power of Christ that rests upon me, and my spirit is going to stand up. I'm not going to be afraid. His perfect love casts out every fear, Scripture says. Another way in which we grow in our strength, in our spirits, Psalm 27, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Heart in this sense is spirit. Sometimes in Scripture, heart refers to soul, sometimes to spirit. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah 40, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That waiting on the Lord is, I love how the beautiful song goes, waiting here for you with my hands lifted high. Waiting on God is an active thing. It's not a, well, I'm going to wait on God. I need a job. Let me go watch cricket and wait on the Lord until I get a job. That's not what it's saying. It's actively engaging and seeking God. I'm expectant for you to come, Lord. And God, I'm silent. I'm creating an environment, in a sense, for you to come. So God, I'm waiting on you. Like a waiter is meant to, at a good restaurant, wait on you. That doesn't mean the waiter's sitting somewhere in the kitchen until you shout loud enough for them to come. The waiter's standing there, his eye tuned to you. You just half lift your hand, look in his direction, and he or she responds. Waiting on the Lord. Standing there looking. God, just the slightest movement that I can respond to, God. That's what waiting on the Lord means. Can the band come up? And the last one, if you want to stand with us while Sarah and the team comes up. Ephesians 6. Finally, good way to finish. You can all stand. Apparently some confusion is in the house. The last one, and perhaps more than something that we do to strengthen our spirits, probably the outflow of a strong spirit, the ability to stand. As Christians, too often we love running after every new thing, everything that's happening, every fad, every gimmick, every new wind and wave of doctrine, as the New Testament calls it. It's interesting, go read what Scripture tells us to do in church more than anything else. He doesn't say go running after everything, he says stand. Watch what he says here in Ephesians 6, and left out some passages, but it just makes it a bit clearer. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Sometimes as Christians, we need to learn to take a stand for something. We love falling for everything and standing for nothing. We fall for every hoax on the internet. Saying the first service, you think clever people would just be clever about stuff that we share and post on the internet. There's this thing, there's the World News Daily Report website of a new article that was, not the article, a new scroll that was discovered with teachings of Jesus on and story how he raised a stillborn baby from the dead. But if you go to the website, they say, we're a satirical website and everything we write there is nonsense. How many Christians are posting and sharing that? Because we love for it. Oh, it sounds good. It validates what I, it makes me look good because it makes what I believe look good. So let me share it. We love falling for every little thing that looks cool and looks nice. Sometimes all Scripture says is stand. You guys remember Joshua? Just as he was about to take over the mantle of leading the people of Israel. 60 years old, at least. God comes to him and says, Joshua, therefore only be strong and very courageous. Is he saying, Joshua, I want you to sign up to Virgin Active and make sure you're doing super circuits every day? No, that's not what he's saying. He's not talking about his physical body strength. He's not saying, make sure you're on a good exercise program. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying there's a spiritual strength, Joshua, that you need to embrace and hold on to as you lead the people. There's a strength of spirit that you're going to need, and there's a strength of spirit that we need in the church today to be able to stand, having done all to stand, stand therefore. It starts by engaging in the spirit. We're going to spend time worshiping as long as the band is able to stand before they fall over. If you need to leave, as soon as I've done praying, you're welcome to go. But I want to encourage those of you who can hang around and spend time in God's presence, do it. Especially those who struggle to engage. Make a decision to say, God, I'm going to choose to engage in the Spirit. Because I think John 4, Jesus speaking to that woman I was speaking about a little bit earlier. Do you know what he says to her? He says, for this is what the Father is seeking people to seek in spirit, to worship in spirit and in truth. People who can engage from here. You know, when you spend time in the Spirit, you're tired here physically. Ask the people who did it 4 yesterday. You're tired here. The Spirit is tired. It's that innermost being that Paul's writing about. Engage in it. Pray into it. Sometimes as we worship, we need to engage and say, God, I'm not just going to be a spectator and watch everybody else engage and bring their spirit. I'm going to bring my spirit, God. Strengthen my spirit. But there are two specific groups of people I want to pray with tonight. The first one, you're saying, Philip, it's really great wanting to strengthen my spirit, but if I'm honest, I can't say that I know that my spirit has been reborn. Like a new spirit, a whole new spirit. That's what happens when we meet Jesus. It's like a whole new life that starts. How do you know? You know. It's like being hit by a 10-ton truck. You don't run across the road and say, I think maybe the truck hit me. You know. You wake up a couple of weeks later in ICU, there are pipes running out all over your body. You don't know what's changed, except you know that everything has changed. Meeting Jesus is a bit like that. You wake up the next morning, you don't know what's changed, except you know that everything's changed. If you think the truck hit you, the truck didn't hit you. You know. Same as we come to Christ. And tonight, if that's you, we would so love to pray with you. The second group is, if you haven't been filled in the Holy Spirit, you haven't been able to enter into this dimension as yet. Perhaps you've been prayed, someone's prayed with you, and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You know you have, but you struggle just engaging in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. If that's you, we really would love to pray with you. So I'm not going to make a big, protracted, drawn-out altar call tonight. I'm just going to ask that as soon as we begin to sing this next song, if that's you in either of those categories, you need Jesus to come and renew your spirit, or you need to get filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you to engage so that you can pray in the Spirit. Either of those two groups, come forward as soon as the song starts, and we're going to pray with you. Some facilitators will come forward as well. We'll pray with you. We'll trust God to do that in your life because that's what He's excited about doing. For the rest of us, let's engage with God. Let's allow Him to speak and minister. And as long as you can stay, stay. If you need to go, as I said, you're welcome to go. There's coffee and tea outside. Those who are visiting, hang around a little bit later. Have some coffee and tea. We'd love to get to know you. But Lord, we thank you this evening. We thank you that you are the Father of spirits. Because we sang earlier about your spirit breaking out in our midst, God. We bring our spirits before you. We pray, God, strengthen our spirits, train our spirits, Lord. Develop our spirits, God. We want that passage that's written about John the Baptist and about Jesus, that the child grew strong in the spirit, God. We want that to be true of us, that we grew strong in the spirit, God. Teach us, Lord. Train our spirits, Lord. God, be our personal instructor, Lord. Come and train our spirits. And even now, as we choose to engage in the Spirit, Lord, strengthen, build up, shape, and form our spirits, God. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that I can just pray your blessing over every person here, that as we go from here, whether it's right now or in an hour's time, Lord, that we know that you say your presence always goes with us wherever we go. that we can be carriers of your presence, carriers of your light, Lord, that out of our own innermost beings, God, will flow rivers of living water. God, give us the grace in this week to disperse some of that living water to thirsty people all around us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, come forward straight away.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.